Do I do a lesson for you guys anymore? Can I?
Well,
I got one. Morning. So, kind of continuing on with my theme. Last time we shared together, I shared Psalm 23 with you. And today I'm going to share Proverbs 4, 21, or 20 through 27. And it's really hard to memorize. And one of the ways you can do it is to write it on a 3x5 card. That's the way I studied through college and through medical school. And I still do it a little bit. And so I have four scriptures. I have more than four scriptures memorized, but I have four scriptures that I say to myself twice a day. I say it right when I wake up in the morning. And I say it right after I say goodnight to my wife. I roll over and I say my scriptures. Sometimes she gets to hear me say them out loud. Sometimes whispering. Sometimes just in my head. But Psalm 23 is one. Proverbs 4, 20 through 27 is the second one. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 4. And then we sang Psalm 34, 8, which is, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusteth in him. And there are other verses that are near and dear to my heart, but I say those four every day. And the reason I say those four every day is because promises in those that are important to me that I need to know, that I need to say to myself and remind myself so that I don't trust in the Lord, or I don't trust in the world and the world's lies. I trust in the Lord. It's Mother's Day today. This isn't really a Mother's Day message because this is Solomon teaching. And you can read it in a couple of different ways, or a few different ways, I'll say. You could read this as David had taught Solomon this, or you could read it as Solomon was teaching his sons this, or you could just read it as a parent teaching this to their children. And I'll choose that one because it's Mother's Day. So let me just go to Proverbs. So Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 27. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and let your eyelids look right in front of you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your steps be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Do old school, verse by verse, looking at this. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. So the parent is asking the child for something. Give me your attention. And God asks for our attention. The parent has something to say to us. In order for us to give attention, we need to be present and we need to be focused. So much of life, we aren't present, and we're not focused. We need to get rid of distractions. If we want to give our parent our attention, we need to turn off the television. We need to get off our phone. We need to look at them while they're speaking to us. If we want to give God our attention, we need to prepare ourselves to listen to His Word and to hear it. Life is full of distractions. Fritz talked about that a little bit. We have phones, we have television, we have news, we have politics, we have health issues, we have work, we have family, we have friends, and the list goes on. How do we get ourselves ready to hear God's Word and give attention to His words? We quiet ourselves. We bring our prayers to Him. We share our daily concerns with Him. We put our trust in Him that He has everything well in hand. How spiritually receptive are we? Proverbs 15:32 says, "He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding." Being attentive can include learning carefully, stopping, and doing something that most of us don't do as often as we should, thinking, and maybe spending some time memorizing His Word. Maybe it means reading God's Word quietly and stopping to ponder what is being said. Incline your ear to my sayings. The image here is that we are leaning forward toward the parent, toward our God. We desire to hear what is being said. Over and over, Scripture tells us, "For him who has ears, let him hear." How much time do we spend listening to God? We know that Jesus spent a lot of time praying while he was here on the earth. Mark 1:35 tells us, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Do you ever wonder what Jesus' prayers were like? Don't you think he spent some time listening to his Father? "Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." How often do you read God? Do you read daily? It's a very good habit. Who is the number one priority in your life? Is it God? How do you show this to him? Do you pray daily? Do you praise daily? Do you ponder his word daily? And I have to ask, are you memorizing scriptures? It's a very good thing to do, and you can do it if it's a priority. God puts his word in our hearts. He gives us his words as a reminder of our choices and of his blessings, as we see in Deuteronomy 30:11-20. So I'm going to turn to Deuteronomy 30. And if I do it, then that gives you time to do it, right? And I'm going to read verses 11-20. Maybe I'll actually put on some glasses. Pastors love what Ted's hearing right now. He's hearing people turn their Bible pages. Beautiful thing. "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. And of course, what I do is I read through that, and then I underline certain things that I like, and my main verse here is, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. We all want Psalm 1, 1 through 3 to describe our lives. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Don't let a day go by without saying your memorized verses. Don't let a day go by without reading God's words. Do not let them depart from your eyes, in the midst of your heart. For they are life to all those who find them, and health to all their flesh. So our Deuteronomy verse says, do you seek life or death? God says we can have eternal life. And what are you pursuing? We live in this world. It's a fast-paced world. There are schedules, there are deadlines, and there are many distractions. Psalm 11:19 says, as righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. So we can ponder these verses. Righteousness is something worth studying for just a moment. Many things go into righteousness. Two come to mind right away. Kindness, generosity. Kindness is a choice we can make every day. It really is an attitude. It doesn't come naturally all the time. We are told to pursue righteousness. I think we can pursue kindness. Generosity is also an attitude. And we often think of money when the topic comes up. I also think of time. Our natural tendency is to be self-preserving. Our society teaches us to look out for number one. But if we desire to please our God every day and seek to be obedient to him, we will seek ways to be generous. Proverbs 19:22 teaches us, what is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. We see that telling the truth is part of righteousness. This is something that also must be practiced. Our verse also promises health for those who give attention, incline the keep the eyes on, and keep the heart on God's word. We see a beautiful example of this in the book of Daniel. In the first chapter, in verse 8, we read, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. God helped him out. God brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And we find the result in verse 15. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Now it's interesting that we read in Daniel that they appeared better and fatter in flesh than the others. James 5 tells us a different story. We read in verse 14 and 15, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." I see a different promise in the words used here. Prayer for the sick will lead to being saved, being raised up by the Lord Jesus, and having sins forgiven. And this may speak of physical health, the flesh, but I read also spiritual health here. We want to be saved, lift ourselves, lifted up by the Lord, and have our sins forgiven. For the works of God are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep yourself pure." Do you see the intentionality here? This is an active process. This doesn't happen without work. James 1:27 teaches us here, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. There's a whole Bible study we could do with the words, keep yourself. Jude verses 20 and 21 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep your heart with all diligence." Diligence is a great word. It means steady, earnest, and devoted effort. Devoted and painstaking work and application to accomplish an undertaking. One synonym is industriousness. I think of the diligence needed for the entrance exam for medical school called the MCAT. It doesn't take a few hours to study for that test. It takes years to study for them. And then when you're actively preparing, you take many, many full days of preparation. The Bible teaches us that the heart is central to our lives. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Jesus teaches us about this in Matthew 6, 17 and 18. "But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." God is about our motivation. Who are we seeking to impress or please? Man or God? Jesus says in Luke 6:45, "A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." How do we become this good man with good treasure in our hearts? We pursue God diligently. We protect ourselves by staying away from evil and pursuing good. Paul teaches us about the fact that out of our hearts springs the issues of life in Romans 10, 8 to 10. But what does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart," that is the word of faith which we preach, "that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So isn't salvation one of the issues of life? "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Jesus teaches us in Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Now why am I reading the verse again? In Hebrew, when you say the same thing twice, that's an exclamation point. That means pay attention. Where did we start? My son, give attention. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. When I consider a deceitful mouth, I think of lying, and I think of bad motives. If we guard our hearts, we partake of good things. Just like we want to eat healthy food, we want to fill our hearts and minds with good books, good movies, and the good news of God. There are so many distractions in this world. We can focus on current events, politics, sports, our work. How much of our day is devoted to direct pursuit of the kingdom of God? Our verse tells us to put away a lying mouth with bad motives from ourselves and to put perverse lips far from you. Stay away from those that are liars and have ungodly motives. Jesus adds in Luke 6:45, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. If we fill our heart abundantly with good, then that is more likely to come out of our mouth. If we fill our heart with evil, then out of that abundance, evil will defile us as it comes out of our mouth. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Solomon teaches us to guard our eyes. Psalm 119:37 teaches, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Revive me in your words. Questions where we set our eyes, our gaze. We need to be intentional about this and guard ourselves. Isaiah teaches in chapter 33:15-16, he who walks uprightly and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. When we look straight ahead, we look with heavenly vision. We can see and seek the kingdom of God. When our eyelids look right before us, we see what is in front of us, God's blessings and his provision. And we see what is right, what is good, what is correct before us. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Have you ever crossed a stream by stepping on rocks or crossing on a log? If you don't want to fall in the water, you have to pick carefully where you will step. You have to be ready for a rock to move. You might even watch the person crossing before you to see the safe path. Many of us have walked through at least part of our lives without spending even a moment considering where we are going. The writer to the Hebrews teaches us in chapter 12:12-13, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feebleness, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. We are all a bit lame in our walk. We all need healing. We have to come to Jesus and ask for healing. We can't do this until we acknowledge our sin, our weakness, our lame walk. Then we need to make straight paths for our feet so that we won't continue in our lame walk, but we may be healed. Isaiah chapter 2:3 says, many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Our verse in Proverbs also makes me think of weightlifting. When we lift a weight, like if we're deadlifting or military press, We need to stand with our feet shoulder width for a firm foundation. If our feet are too close together, we're not stable. As we continue to lift, we can handle heavier weights. We get our foundation so that we aren't easily knocked over. When we ponder the path of our feet, we get a firm foundation in Christ so that all our ways are established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Here in our last verse, we have two important ideas for us. One is straightforwardness. And two, we are to shun evil. The prophet Ezekiel tells us in chapter 1, verse 12, about the four living creatures in his vision. And each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. I get the image here of the sheep following the shepherd in Israel, on the same path, following him. They do not turn and stray off. Jesus tells us in Luke 9:62, not even to turn around and look backwards. But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." We are to keep moving forward. Paul teaches us further on this same topic in Philippians 3:13 and 14. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." When we keep our eyes on the goal and continue to walk toward it, we are moving straight ahead in the right direction. Our last line of verse 27 is pretty straightforward. Shun evil. Remove your foot. Actively avoid it. Proverbs 14:16 says, "A wise man fears and departs from evil, but rages and is self-confident." And then I'll just read us our verse from Isaiah again. He gives us strong counsel in Isaiah 33:15 and 16. "He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gesturing with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure." God promises plenty of provisions. He gives us His divine supplies. Amen.